we think that these alternative arrangements would show that the backstop would not be necessary and that there is a different choice, and we would hope that the different choice could find favour. What we're trying to do here is find a solution that will find favour in Brussels, in London, in Dublin, in Belfast, which the backstop currently doesn't. The backstop hasn't got through the UK House of Commons, therefore we don't have an agreement. So we need to try something different, and that is exactly what alternative arrangements are all about.
To be taken seriously, this report needs the approval of Northern Ireland's business leaders. So I spoke to the country's retail consortium head, Eoghan Connolly, who has been consulted in its development.
There were a few large elephants in the room. The fact that criminality along the border was not mentioned, the fact that the free zones will actually create more borders and layers of borders, and the fact that it doesn't deal significantly or in a robust way with the SPS, the animal and animal products checks. So while we do have to give them some kudos for listening to the people from Northern Ireland, and I have to say there's been a big change in attitude from when we first met them to what this interim report says. However, quite simply, what's in this report and the conversations that we have had today does not meet the test that we need as businesses to secure frictionless trade for us, not just to thrive, but to survive Brexit.
Run me through those tests.
So we need to have no checks. We need to have a VAT realisation, a way to, that, for example, in the protocol, says that we can be part of VES, the European system, and part of the HMRC system, which has never been done before and was a big win for us. We also need to have that free movement of people, the free movement of goods. We can't have an infrastructure, partly because of the symbolic nature, but as well as that, because delays, you know, the FTA has a wonderful, Free Transport Association has a wonderful stat that every minute that is spent at a check post, it costs £1. Now, if you can imagine that, even the Norway-Sweden border, the average delay is about 10 minutes. They only have 1,300 trucks going across every day. We have 13,000 trucks going every day. So for us, we cannot have delays. It needs to be frictionless trade. It needs to be unburdened trade as far as administration is concerned. And it needs to be free movement of people. That doesn't come from what's in the report launched today.
I put some of those criticisms back to Greg Hands.
It's definitely not the case that the situation today will remain the situation in the future. But I don't see this as additional borders at all. In fact, it avoids creating both a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, and also any new hard border between Northern Ireland and Great Britain, which of course is also very important in this. And in all these questions, we'd have to get the democratic buy-in at all points in terms of if there was an SPS zone, sanitary, phytosanitary, this is agri-foods and so on, a very important part of trade, but not the whole economy, that the two islands SPS zone, if the UK were to diverge, then the Republic of Ireland would have the right to leave that zone and be in the EU zone, and then Northern Ireland in turn would have the right to leave the All Ireland zone, and all stages there would require democratic buy-in in the UK, in Ireland and in Northern Ireland.
But that would mean that effectively divergence in the future could potentially create a hard border.
Only if all those hurdles were not met. I personally think it's unlikely that the UK will seek to have divergence in agriculture and agri-foods. That's not the intention of the current UK government, and I can't see that being the intention of a future UK government. But that would be a matter for a future UK government. I think that chain of circumstances is rather unlikely to happen.
This would potentially limit future trade deals with the US, which has made clear that breaking down EU-style regulatory standards on food and drink would be a priority for its negotiators. Trade lawyer Shankar Singham is head of the Commission's technical panel. I asked him about the report's reception.
Well, you know, it's impossible to do this exercise without and keep every single constituency happy. So I think I'm fairly pleased that it looks like the majority of people, while they may have issues with one or two things that are in the report, most of them seem to actually quite like the structure of it and quite like the report. And we've had some positive comments from both sides and from all sides. So I'm quite pleased with how it's going. But it is an interim report. We are taking more consultation. We are getting more comments.
It feels as though events are moving elsewhere in politics a little faster than this process that we've got. the candidates in the leadership contest talking about a no-deal exit. Has this become distinct from political reality?
Not really, because I think there's quite a lot of things that are said in the heat of a political campaign that don't necessarily reflect reality. Even in a no-deal scenario, you'd need to have some sort of alternative arrangements for the Irish border. So we know that this work will be necessary regardless of what the final relationship is between the UK and the EU.
Former Education Secretary Nicky Morgan is the Commission's other co-chair. I put some of Mr Connolly's concerns to her, and she stressed this is only an interim report ahead of next month's full publication.
But there aren't going to be changes. I mean, that is the purpose in a way. I didn't want to leave the European Union, but for those who did, they want to see things done differently. I think the EU now understand that. The question is, how do we make it work so that we have as little change possible, and really so that our traders, who are a vital part of our economy, are able, on both sides of the border, are able to carry on employing people, serving their communities, and creating a strong economy.
Those business leaders also say it's disingenuous to be talking about this while there is rhetoric about no-deal Brexit going on in the campaigning for the leadership of your party. Is it unhelpful for Boris Johnson and Jeremy Hunt to be talking in those terms?
Look, ultimately, I'm a former lawyer, and I know that if two sides can't agree, then you don't have a deal. So that is the position. So I think if everybody wants to avoid no deal becoming a reality, then we have to find a way to have a deal that's going to get the support of members of parliament, sufficient numbers, but also support people on both sides of the border, agreed with the EU, that can work for everybody.
Beautifully evaded, but again, is it unhelpful?
Well, I think the point is that a no deal is something that could unfold. So at the end of the day, if that concentrates minds to get back round the table discussing this, then I think that we should take every opportunity to make sure people engage in this interim report.